Our scripture reading for this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Luke, chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home, marveling at what had happened. Luke 24, the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth this morning and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had a day that changed your life? Sometimes it's a good thing. Maybe the day you met your spouse. Maybe the day the doctor said, "It's a boy." Maybe you were off. That's my boy, by the way. From quite a while back. Maybe you were offered that job across the country and you knew everything was going to be different. Maybe sometimes it's a bad day. Maybe someone turned left in front of your motorcycle. Maybe the doctor said, "It's cancer." Maybe the boss said that the company is downsizing and it's starting with you. There are events in our lives that change everything. Easter is all about the weekend that changed everything. The weekend that changed the world. From Friday to Sunday, the world became a different place. It wasn't just one event that changed the world. It was actually two events. But they're like two sides of a coin. They go together. So there's heads. There's Jesus on the cross. That first Good Friday, Jesus dying. And then the other side of the coin, on the third day, on that first Easter Sunday, Christ rose from the dead. These two events taken together have forever changed the world. This morning, I want to answer two questions related to that statement. In light of Jesus' death and resurrection, what has changed for the world, and what has changed for me? What has changed for the world, and what has changed for me? Now, you know, actions have consequences, right? We know this. We try and teach our kids this to realize this. Actions have consequences. And I'm going to give you some advice this morning. Isn't that why you came? You wanted to hear advice, right? Yeah. I'm going to give you advice. If you ever borrow a friend's car and you see a button, looks something like this. If you're driving, don't push that button. All right? Because your actions will have consequences. And sometimes those consequences are unintended. I had a friend recently tell me one of her coworkers was taking her daughter to the airport before work. And she was borrowing the daughter's car to drive her to the airport and dropped her off, presumably, you know, just at the curbside. So the car is continuing to run. And then the daughter heads off into the airport. And with her is this thing. This is the ignition key. You know these keyless kind? It just has to be somewhere near the car. And then you can push the button and the car will start. But if it's not near the car won't start, right? And so mom drops off daughter. She heads into the airport. She heads off to work.
And she's somewhere in Boston, in the city, I think Commonwealth Ave or something like that. So she's in traffic, and it's busy, and she's stopped there, and this light is flashing at her. And she wants to make the light stop flashing, so she pushes the button. Car goes dead. There's no ignition key. There she is in the middle of Boston, and there her daughter is with the ignition key at the airport. Now, by the grace of God, she managed to call her. They were there plenty early, so she got a taxi cab, and she met her, and then they got her back to the airport, and she didn't miss her flight, and she now had the ignition key. But our actions, they have consequences, and sometimes those consequences are not intended. We live with the unintended consequences of the actions of the first man and first woman from the very beginning of time. The Bible tells us that our first human parents, Adam and Eve, sinned, and they brought the curse of death upon humanity. In fact, they brought that curse upon all of creation. And since then, the consequences of that action is that the world has been in bondage. Their actions had consequences which we still live with today. And we witness this bondage to sin, this bondage to death in a thousand ways every day. Sometimes it's on a global scale, and you'll see on the news about chemical weapon attacks in Syria, or you'll see about famine in East Africa. Sometimes it's something we'll see in our own nation, hate crimes increasing, or drug use and overdoses seeming to multiply. Many times we don't have to look to the news at all. We just look to our own lives. And on a very personal level, we see that sin wreaks havoc in our own lives with broken relationships, with anxiety that we can't control, with the inability to do the things that we know we should and that we want to do. And so we see that we're living with these consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. Of our first parents, still today, we feel the reverberations of their actions. But the Bible tells us that in response to the world's bondage to sin, that on a Friday some 2,000 years ago, Jesus, who is the living God become flesh, Jesus willingly died on a cross, bearing in his flesh the consequences of our sin. The Bible tells us this in many different ways. We can read it in Peter. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin. Or it says it this way. Also, Peter says, Christ suffered once for sin, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's us, that he might bring us to God. Or Jesus was delivered up for our transgressions. It was our sins. Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses. And while we were sinners, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Or as John says it, in this is love. Not that we loved God. That's not the true measure of love. But he says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. There are many other places. One last one we see in Ephesians that it says, in Jesus we have redemption. But how do we have that redemption? Through his blood. And then it makes it clear what that redemption is, the forgiveness of our sins. These are all ways that the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die because he was a sinner. He died to forgive our sins. And with that death, with Jesus' death, sin was stripped of its power to condemn us to death any longer. Sin lost its only weapon that it held over us, guilt leading to death. Jesus had dealt the death blow to death itself. And with that, there was victory. With the death of Jesus, the sin-cursed world was irrevocably changed. It can't be undone. It's already done once for all. Victory is here. Now, the other side of that weekend, the other side of the coin, there was Good Friday. They didn't call it back then Good Friday. It was a very bad Friday in some regards. But there was Good Friday, but then there was Easter. There was Sunday morning. Death did not hold Jesus. It could not hold Jesus. He had indeed died. He was really dead. He didn't just pass out. They weren't confused. Roman soldiers knew when somebody was dead. Jesus was dead on that cross. And then they put him in a tomb. But on the third day, victoriously, Jesus was raised bodily from the dead, never to face death again. Paul puts it this way in Romans. He says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again because death no longer has dominion over him. Now, to understand how Jesus' resurrection has changed the world forever, we have to understand that the cross was a means to an end. When you build a bridge, you don't build a bridge just as a monument, right? I mean, you don't make it as a memorial. It might serve that purpose, but it also gets somebody from point A to point B, and if it doesn't do that, it really doesn't serve any purpose at all. I'm not sure where that's supposed to even be going there. But a bridge is not a means, is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end. And the forgiveness that was purchased on the cross was not an end in itself. Forgiveness is for a purpose. Forgiveness is God's means of bringing us back into relationship with Him and setting the world right. It's the bridge leading the way to what the Bible calls new creation. God's new act of creation. So the death of Jesus brought about the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of Jesus inaugurated the new creation, the new work of God. On that first Sunday morning, the world was irrevocably changed because God's new creation had broken through in the resurrection of Jesus. Now, sometimes when you have big ideas like this, what some might think, oh, it's just theory, you know, okay, so he saved the world. We need it to hit us at home for it to make sense to us, for it to really connect with our hearts. You know, sometimes if you talk with high school juniors and seniors and they're thinking about college, right? They've got images of something like this. You know, oh, I want to go to this school or that school. And you try and help them understand how much that's going to cost. And how they're going to be saddled with this cost for a long time to come. Yeah, their eyes kind of glaze over, you know, and they're like, yeah, okay, sure, that's money stuff. That doesn't make much sense. So you have to bring it down to a way that connects with them. And sometimes if you just put figures in front of them and help them see, it's like, oh, a $50,000 loan means $600 plus payments per month for 10 years? Yes, for 10 years. Which, so if you were lucky enough to get a job that paid you $40,000 out of college, right off the top, 20% going to your school loan for the next 10 years. So this big idea of how much it's going to cost sort of becomes practical. Sometimes we need to have the big idea of what a victory over death and sin means to have it come home to us. We need to understand how we fit into the big picture in a practical way, or the big picture will never be relevant to us. So how do the world-changing realities that were accomplished on that first Good Friday and Easter Sunday, how do they touch my life? What has changed for me? You know, the world out there isn't the only thing touched by sin. It's not just a problem for other people or other parts of the world or things that we see on the news. Sin has wreaked havoc in our own lives and in our own hearts. As I said before, relationships all around us and in our lives are broken or strained. We have regret for words that we've spoken or actions that we've taken. Even our thoughts weigh on our hearts. Anxiety robs us of the joy that always seems so elusive. And pride has isolated us from people who matter in our lives. Addiction has enslaved us. But you know what? The worst thing is that these are merely surface symptoms of the greater problem of sin. Sin doesn't just make the world a harder place. Our sin separates us from God and leads to death. But the hope of Good Friday is not that God has defeated sin in the abstract, but that He has actually made forgiveness and victory over sin possible for you and me. The word says, if you confess your mouth that with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But you should be asking yourself, saved from what? Saved from the curse of death and from God's wrath towards sin. Saved from the ripple effects that we're still feeling and we will still experience from Adam and Eve onward. Saved from sin and saved from God's wrath. And so, with this hope of Good Friday, we have the first side of the coin. That there is forgiveness. There is guilt wiped away. There is salvation from death. But the other side of that coin, the hope of Easter, is not just that the new creation has begun with Jesus, but that you too can be made a new creation by God. That's the other side of the coin, that forgiveness is for a purpose, for new creation, that you and me can become new. The scriptures say that we are new creatures when we put our faith in Christ. With your sins forgiven, you're made new and you are empowered to live as a new creature. The book of Romans says it this way, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, that's a way of saying all of us who have confessed that we belong to Christ, that He is Lord, that we need the forgiveness that He offers. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into His death. The benefits of His death applied for us. But then it goes on to say that we were buried, therefore, with Him in baptism and death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We can have new life. So the hope of Easter is that you no longer have to be a slave to sin, but you can be free to live as God created you to live. You can be free to fulfill the calling that He has put upon your life. You can be free to love your Creator and love others that He has created. To love God, to love your neighbor. This is what God has created you for. This is what changed on that weekend. 2,000 years ago, with Good Friday and Easter. So what has changed because of the death and resurrection of Jesus? The chains of sin and death, they've been defeated. God has made a way through Jesus for us to be free to live in Him. So the question is put back to you. Will you let this Easter change everything for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You did not withhold forgiveness, but You made a way through sending Your Son. Lord, we thank You for Good Friday. We thank You that Jesus willingly laid down His life, that He took our sins in His flesh, that we might die to sin but live to righteousness. Lord, we thank You for Easter, the beginning of Your new creation. We look forward to its culmination when Jesus returns. And even now, Lord, help us to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Lord, I pray this morning for those who are hearing this Easter message and who feel that death in their own spirit. They feel the weight of their sins, that they might turn to You even this morning, confessing their sins and finding in You forgiveness. And may You empower them to live new lives as new creatures in Christ. Lord, help us as a church to reflect Your new creation in our lives, in our community, and in our world. We pray all these things in the victorious, powerful, resurrected name of Jesus. Amen.